If you got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on. You can follow along on screen in your outline and the bulletin in there, the outline in your bulletin, yeah. use the Central Church app. You can go to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. That's where we're going to be at the entire message. This is week number 3 of our series called It's All in Your Head. We got one more week in this series. Then we're going to start a brand new one the week after that. But in this series, we've been looking at things like anxiety and depression, fear, worry, even suicidal thoughts, and seeing how to combat those with the promises that God gives us in His Word. Now, in this series, I've gotten some really positive feedback, but I've gotten some negative feedback as well. And the negative comes from people saying that we shouldn't be talking about these such things in the church. And my response back is, why not? Like, these are things the Bible talks about and that followers of Jesus deal with on a daily basis. And if we're not taking the Bible and applying it to our everyday lives, then what the heck are we even doing here? Seriously. I mean, if all you're after is intellectual knowledge and not life-changing transformation, that's not what Jesus is about. And by the way, side note, if you don't like this series, you're really not going to like the next one. The next series we're calling Unpopular, and we're going to talk about things like, what is a man? What is a woman? Should a Christian be involved in politics? And a couple more really fun things. And so if this isn't your cup of tea and you're not into like what's really going on in the world and how do we take that and how do we apply that to our lives and how do we let the life-changing transformation from the Bible take place and speak to our lives, then I don't know really what to tell you, because that's what we're about here. We're about connecting people to Jesus and each other and speaking the truth in love, but speaking the truth about what does the Bible really say? Not what does culture say, not what does my mom say, not what does my dad say, not what does everybody around me say, but what is God saying? What does God say about this? And so today, as we continue on in this series, let me set it up with a question. Let me ask all of you a question. And again, this is one of the questions that's easy for you because it's about you. What's one thing that you fear the most? I'm not going to tell your neighbor, all right? You just think it in your head. We're not going to shout it out loud. But I would bet that all of us have at least one fear in life. Now, most of us fear different things. And we can list out the obvious. We can list out the irrational fears, the fears of, I'm afraid of this, but I don't really know why I'm afraid of this. For things like mice and clowns and the Kool-Aid man. Those are things I typically confess and I say are my fears. And they're irrational fears because people ask me all the time, why are you afraid of mice? And I really don't have an answer other than the fact that I think I got traumatized when I was a little kid. When I was real small, my aunts were teenagers. And I had a baseball hat on one time and they had pet mice and they took off my hat and they put mice on my head and they put the hat back on and held it there while the mice were scratching at my head. And so, no wonder I'm afraid, right? So that's an okay fear, I guess. The Kool-Aid man, that dude was going to bust through my wall and kill me, like every night. Like, I don't know. And clowns are clowns. Like, that's where I'm at on those. So we all have those types of fears. But there are fears that go past irrationality and fears that really get home, really hit home to a lot of us. A lot of things that we're dealing with in everyday life, because some people have the fear of, am I going to be able to pay the rent this month? The fear of, am I going to be able to afford college? The fear of, is my relationship or is my marriage going to make it? How about the fear of, am I going to lose my job? Or the fear of, am I even going to be able to get out of bed today? Am I ever going to get past this feeling of stress and anxiety and worry and depression? Am I ever going to be able to silence the voices in my head that seemingly will never shut up? And so with all of that in mind, I want to share with you one verse today. Normally, if you've been around for a while, you know I love to take a passage and go through it and really dig into it and pull stuff out of the story. But I'm going to share one verse because I had so much fun with this last week. And when I'm sharing this verse, I want you to keep in mind that the book of Isaiah, originally, when this particular verse was written, it was written to a group of people who were consumed with fear. It was written to the Israelites. The Babylonians had come over and invaded, and they were being taken into captivity. And there was so much fear. There was so much anxiety. There was so much uncertainty in their life, they didn't know what to do. And by the way, at this time, the Israelites, they weren't good people, but they were God's people. Did you know you don't have to be a good person to be a God person? Because if you've got to be a good person to be loved by God, all of us are in trouble. Amen? But that's another message for another time. But this is what God says through the prophet Isaiah to a group of people that were living with serious fear and worry and anxiety. They were freaked out about what was going to happen to them. And this is one of those verses that I personally come back to over and over and over and over again on a consistent basis. This is what God says to them, and I believe this is what God says to us. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Now, on the surface, as I read that, there's probably nobody that went, "Woo! Everything's all better. I came in here all stressed and worried and afraid, and you read that, and everything is just great." Because on the surface, it's just a verse. I don't know if you've ever been around anything, and it's just something that maybe speaks to somebody else, or somebody else has seen something a gazillion times, and to them, it's not really a big deal. Like a couple of weeks ago, I was in Colorado, and I went on this hike, and I hiked up to this place called Dream Lake, and it was really cool. And I was coming back down, and I was really excited from seeing the lake and actually making it to the top and not falling down like the last time I hiked in Colorado. And I was coming down, and there was a group of people, like, kind of stopped in the path, and I came down, like, wonder what they're doing. And I looked, and they were sitting there, and they were taking pictures of an elk. And I stopped, and I started taking pictures of the elk. And the elk was, like, from here to over where Jeff is sitting from me. I never seen an elk in real life before. And so I am fascinated. How many of you have seen an elk in real life? Okay, it's Iowa. I get it. I understand. I'm a city boy, all right? So I've never seen an elk. And so I'm just like blown away at how magnificent this thing is while it's eating. And, I mean, it's just big and powerful and huge and awesome. And I said this out loud. Wow, that's phenomenal. And I said it about that loud. And along comes this little 10, 11, 12-year-old girl who was ticked off about having to be on a hike with her parents, apparently. And she walks by me. She goes, "It's an elk." Listen, little girl, we're out in the middle of nowhere. You know what? I didn't say that out loud, but I was just like, is she, like, serious? And she's, but isn't that how it happens? Like, we can see something. We could be going through something. And somebody says something to us that means something to them, or they've read or they've heard or they've seen. And to them, it might be nothing or it might be something. But to us, it's just like, I don't know. Like, have you ever been that person that somebody throws a Bible verse at you and the Bible verse is supposed to make you feel better, but somehow it makes you feel worse? I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I have. And I'm always like, well, thank you. I wasn't freaked out till you told me that Bible verse, and now I'm completely freaked out, and I think God's mad at me, and God's going to destroy me. But this verse is meant for encouragement. So let's break it down. Let's look at what God said to them, and I believe God is saying to us today. We're going to go phrase by phrase through this like we did last week. The first part says, don't be afraid. Now, to me, I don't know about you, but for me, on the surface, that doesn't work. You think that? Like if you're getting freaked out and somebody comes up to you and says, stop freaking out, does that work? No, again, it causes you to freak out more. In fact, you go, don't tell me not to freak out. I'll freak out if I want to. I'm an adult. We always have to tell people we're adults when we're acting childish. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but that's immediately where I go to. But don't be afraid. Really? Don't be afraid? So somebody's scared? Somebody's fearful? Somebody's worried? Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This is like telling people, lean in. This is like me telling you, hey, don't think about a pink elephant. Don't. Stop it. Don't think about a pink elephant. Don't think about a pink elephant. Just don't do it. Don't think about a pink. How many of you are thinking about a pink elephant right now? I told you not to, right? Could it be, just a question for you, could it be that what we see and what we hear has a lot to do with what we fear? Could it be? Could it be what we see and what we hear has a lot to do with what we fear? Just a little side note, and this is not me being mean. This is just me practicing common sense. And again, we'll talk about this a little bit more in the next series. But maybe, just maybe, if we spend a little little less time watching the news and a little more time in the presence of God, however you choose to do that, our fear, worry, and anxiety would decrease. Listen, the people I know who are freaked out and worried and depressed the most are the people who watch the news all day. Their job is to freak you out, and they're all jacked up. Anyway, another message for another time. For me, though, this frustrates me because when I read this, to me, it's like God saying, knock it off. Ryan, what the heck is wrong with you? You got nothing. Stop it. Don't be afraid. It's like God is yelling at me, don't be afraid. And I feel bad because I'm the guy that if you tell me not to be afraid, I'm going to be afraid. But something has changed in me, and I've shared this with you over the past several months. My perspective on God has shifted. And not me seeing God as the God who stands over the edge of heaven, yelling at us and screaming at us and correcting us, but really honestly looking at God as the God of love and mercy and grace and compassion. And so I stopped looking at this as more of a command, or as less of a command, and more as an invitation. I look at this as our Heavenly Father saying, hey, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to. It's an invitation to stop allowing fear and worry and anxiety to dominate our lives. And by the way, I'll say this again, in case you missed it the first time, what we see and what we hear has a lot to do with what we fear. And God is inviting us to a place where we don't have to live this way. We don't have to live in fear. He's saying, hey, come on, don't be afraid. Now, if that's all he said, I mean, that's good. But he follows it up with a qualifying statement. Why should we not fear? For I am with you. Now that's awesome in some cases that God is with us. Others of us, if you grew up in church, God being with you is one of the scariest things in the world. Because he's walking around, following us around, waiting for us to mess up. He's standing over heaven, looking down, saying, oh, screwed up. It's like clipboard Jesus. Clipboard Jesus following you around with a clipboard, just waiting for you to mess up. He's going to write it down. I'm going to write that down. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. I'm going to write that down. Oh, did you just do that? Writing that one down, telling daddy. Like, seriously, like, we're convinced that Jesus is out to get us. It's kind of like the old charismatic preacher that got up and he just starts going off on all of his people. He's up there, today, church, we're going to preach about the D-E-V-I-L. What does D-E-V-I-L spell, church? Devil! That's right, it spells devil. The devil is here, and the devil is after you. He's going to get you on the television. He's going to get you on the music. He's going to get you on the cigarettes and on the alcohols. It's the devil. And you know what the devil will do to you? He'll make you E-V-I-L. What does E-V-I-L spell? That's right. The devil is evil. And so are some of you up in this place. You're evil in the church. You know what evil will make you do? The evil will make you V-I-L. That spells vile. Because there's some vile people up in this place. It's what you've been looking at on the internet. It's what you've been shopping for at the Walmart. You're just vile. And you know what else the devil will make you do? He'll make you I-L. He'll make you ill. Because sin is ill up in the church. Sin is making you sick. And last but not least, if you take off the I, it'll leave you with what? Ill. And that's where some of you are going to go if you don't receive Jesus today. It's hot in here. He said, that's going to be on the internet. Please no, John. He said, what did he say? He said, don't be afraid because I am with you. Now, that's good news for me because, like, think about this. This isn't a trick question. It's an easy question. Who was God in the flesh while he was here on earth with us? What was his name? Jesus, right? What was his name? Jesus. In the church, the answer is always Jesus. Jesus was with us. So when he says, do not be afraid, why? Because Jesus is with us. And if I've got Jesus with me, then things can be good, right? I mean, we can go back and we can look at stuff that he did. Like in John chapter 2, he turned water into wine. That's a supernatural miracle. He took water, which is something very common. something ordinary, and he turned it into something supernatural. Don't miss that. He took something common and ordinary and turned it into something strong and supernatural. And if he could do it with water, then he can do it with men and women as well. Amen? He could take us from ordinary to strong and supernatural. If he did it then, he can do it again. And he says, don't be afraid, because Jesus, that same Jesus that did that, is with you right now, right here today. Jesus in John chapter 6 fed 5,000 men, probably up to 15,000 to 20,000 people by the time you take the women and children and put them together, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Do you remember how that miracle started out? That miracle started out with a problem. Jesus came to his disciples. All these people are out there. Jesus is teaching them. He comes to his disciples and says, hey, we need to feed these people. And the miracle started out with the disciples saying, no, Jesus, we don't have enough. Like, Jesus, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There's 13 of us. We barely have enough to feed ourselves. As a matter of fact, Jesus, when we get done eating, we're still going to be hungry. Like, this is going to be like a light snack for us. And so hopefully we get this little light snack and then we're going to sleep. We're not going to be traveling tonight. We're not going to be doing all. Like, Jesus, we don't have enough. And that's the way some people feel. I don't have enough. Jesus, I don't have enough strength to make it through. Jesus, I don't have enough hope to make it through. Jesus, I don't have enough joy to get out of bed this morning. And Jesus says, you know what? That's fine. Just give me what you have and I'll multiply it and I'll make it enough. Jesus does that. He did it then. He could do it again. He fed over 5,000 men, 15,000 to 20,000 people with a Happy Meal from McDonald's. He should have fixed the ice cream machines, but he... Listen, whatever you have, it's enough for him. Whatever you have, put it in his hands. He's going to make it enough to help you get through. Amen? Jesus said he'll be with us in John chapter 11. He goes to a funeral, except the funeral's already happened. Lazarus, his friend, is in the tomb and he's dead. And Jesus calls death back to life. And that shows me that anything that's God inside of us, like hope, hope is God inside of us. Peace is God inside of us. Love is God inside of us. Joy is God inside of us. Jesus calls death back to life. We always say around here, if we're not dead, God's not done. And he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid for no other reason than the fact that I am with you. That's a good promise right there, that Jesus is with us. But he goes on, doesn't just leave it there. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Now, there's not a person on the planet who hasn't dealt with discouragement. I was thinking of a way to illustrate this point, and I thought the best way was to go back to my high school days. When I was in high school, dating for me was about as effective as my baseball game. I was batting zero. It just wasn't happening. And I remember, and I never will forget this, I am so scarred in all of life from this event right here. I've shared this before, but this story fits so well. I wanted to ask this girl out because she was really good looking. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, she was like a 26. Like, she was there. And so I was going to ask her out. But the way that we used to do it back in the day, I guess you probably still do it now, but you use social media. But the way we did it is you would talk to a friend that knew her friend that would talk to her that got back to your friend that got back to you. And so you kind of worked the cycle because you wanted to make sure that you didn't just get shot down in person. So I worked the cycle. And the word that got back was this girl would go out with me. So I never will forget, ever, because this is so scarring. We were at an event one night, and I was on one side of the room. She was on the other side of the room. And I got up the courage to start walking towards her. And I'm walking across the room, and my stomach is doing all kinds of crazy knots. And I'll never forget, we locked eyes, and she turned around and ran out of the room. Ran! I was so discouraged, so disappointed. Side note. I saw her about 7 or 8 years ago. Thank God she ran. Thank you, Jesus. Woohoo! Some of God's greatest gifts. But all of us deal with that when it comes to discouragement. Like you thought you were going to get into college, you didn't get in. You thought you were going to get the job, and you didn't get the job. You thought you were going to get the raise, and you didn't get the raise, or you didn't get as much as you hoped you were going to get. You thought this was going to happen, and it didn't happen. There's not a person on the planet who hasn't dealt with discouragement in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And God comes along and says, hey, don't be discouraged. Once again, it's not a command. It's not a knock it off, don't be discouraged. Don't you know that I'm your God, and you've got fulfillment and everything in me? It's an invitation. God's saying, hey, you don't have to. You don't have to live in discouragement. Why? Well, he follows it up and he tells us why. You don't need to be discouraged, for I am your God. Now, on the surface, that seems good, but it gets really good because if we fail to recognize this, remember last week I told you peace begins with the recognition of who God is? You can put anything right there. Recognition of God is the foundation for everything in our life. And so you could say hope begins with a recognition of who God is. Love, joy, faithfulness, I mean, all begins with a recognition of who God is. However, sometimes we fail to recognize what's right in front of us. This happened to me the other day. Listen, from time to time, I will make a driving error. It's not often, but sometimes. And so the other day, I was going home, and I was at the stoplight at Grant Road, and it was red. And you know it's got the green turn signal on the side where people beside you, they can turn left. But sometimes, you're not paying attention. And maybe, perhaps, that happened to me on this day. The car next to me went. And I may or not have been looking at my phone. I'm not going to say. But I was like, oh, the car next to me is going. And so I just went. And I went out into the intersection. And I got the horn and the finger telling me that I was number one. And I almost got hit. And it was totally my fault. Totally my fault. So I had to do the, I don't know if you ever had to do the I'm sorry wave. I'm sorry. You're looking down. You're trying not to make eye contact. But I just kept going. I just kept going. They're like, you ran a red light? Yes, I did. It's because I didn't recognize the sign that was right in front of me. Sometimes we lose sight of who God is. We lose sight or we fail to recognize that he's given us so many signs that he is our God and he is with us. And he says the reason not to be discouraged is because I am your God. In other words, don't you recognize what I can do? Don't you recognize who I am? Don't you recognize what I've done? I put the ocean in place. He's like, I formed the ocean and I told the ocean where to start and where to stop. I am that God. Do you not recognize I'm the God that created the mountains? Like, look at those mountains. God says, I spoke those into existence and they formed. I am that God, the God who created those mountains. He says, I am with you. I am with you. The God who created the sunrise and the sunset. Every time we see it, it's painted a different color. I told you before, one of the greatest things about living in Iowa is how beautiful the sunsets are out here. They're amazing. He's like, I'm the God who painted that picture in the sky. But think about this. Think about that sunset. Think about every sunset you see. You ever notice the details? Let me ask you this question. Do you think God is into details, yes or no? If God's into the details of a sunset, how much more is God into the details of his children? I know what you're going through, and I am right here with you. God, who put the earth in the universe and suspended it and holds it up with his hand. None of us woke up this morning saying, oh my gosh, God, I hope the earth doesn't fall. I hope the earth doesn't fall today. I hope the earth continues to rotate around. We are in, think about this, perfect distance from the sun. Any closer we burn, any further away we freeze. God, who created the world, who spoke the world into existence, that God said, I am with you. Don't be discouraged. God's saying, listen, if I can handle holding up the world, I can handle your situation. I know every single thing that's going on in your life. God, who spoke the stars into existence and knows every one of them by name. Bible says God knows every single star by name. I forget my own kids' names sometimes. God says, I know all the stars. I'm God. I can do anything. I can help you overcome anything. I am with you. And then he says this, I will strengthen you. Matter of fact, at the end of this verse, he gives us three promises. I will strengthen you. I don't know about you, but there are things people say that get on my last nerve. Anybody else like that? Like the main one for me, I heard this again this week. It drives me crazy every time I hear it. Maybe you have said this in the past. Maybe you think this. Maybe you want to say it today. I'm going to ask you moving forward not to say it anymore. And so when I say it, don't amen it because it's not true. And it drives me up the freaking wall. This is it. You ready for it? God will never give you more than you can. Oh, you've heard it, right? And so this week, this guy was like, he's going through some stuff. And I was kind of trying to help him out. This is not at church here, but I was kind of trying to help him out, and he's overwhelming situations. He's like, you know, I know I can make it. My grandma said, the Bible will never give me more than I can handle. I'm like, well, your grandma's an idiot. Your grandma doesn't know the Bible. Go talk about my grandma. It reminds me of Bobby Boucher. My mama said, I said, I'm not talking about your grandma. I'm not talking about your mom. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about the Bible. The Bible does not say that. I don't know if you know that or not, but the Bible does not say God will never give you more than you can handle. Where we get that from, where it's twisted up from, is 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. But why would God tell us he would strengthen us if we don't need his strength? And so what that does is when people tell you, oh my gosh, you know, I know you're going through a difficult time. I know it's hard. And I know that things just seem to be falling apart. But what you need to know, the Bible says God will never put more on you than you can handle. What it does is it makes people feel bad because they're like, I legit can't handle this. I don't think I'm going to make it through. What the heck's wrong with God? Why would he give me so much? If God hasn't put this on me, who the heck has put this on me? Listen, if that statement were true, that God will never give you more than you can handle, then what do you do with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, where Jesus says, on the night before he's crucified, he says, Father, I'm overwhelmed to the point of sorrow and death. God, did you just give me more than I can handle? So for those of you that are in the middle of a situation, you don't think you have the strength to make it through, like you feel like you're a little freaked out, the situation that's in front of you, God says, I will strengthen you. In other words, is it more than you can handle? Yes. God allows that to happen, so we'll learn to consistently rely on his strength than trying to make it through on our own. Because listen to me, his strength is way better than our strength, yes or no? His ways are way better than our ways, yes or no? All the time. So he said, I will strengthen you. Then he says this, promise number two, I will help you. I will help. You ever need help? Let me be honest. Let me confess one more thing to you this morning. On most days, I feel like this right here. Just a jackass weighted down by the weight of the world. Seriously. Now, there's obviously a problem right there. But let's say we walked up to this donkey and he responded to us the way we respond to other people. Let's say we went up to him and say, hey man, you good? Yeah, I'm good. Everything all right in your life? Yep. You know, this is normal for me. You need some help with that? No. I'm good. I'm just kind of relaxing right now. I'm going to get around to this in a little while. I'm going to unpack it. You know, I'd be glad to take away some of that weight from you. Nope. No, that's good. It's good, man. I don't want to put you out. This is how I relax. Thanks for checking in with me. We would call that donkey stupid. But isn't that the way we live sometimes? There's not one person here today that doesn't need help. Listen, from God and from others. And this is an opportunity. If we're freaked out, if we're afraid, if we're discouraged, God says, I will strengthen you. And he says, I will help you. And he helps us supernaturally through the Holy Spirit. And he helps us through other people. We got to have both, God and people. God and people. He said, I will help you. He will help us supernaturally, and he'll help us by putting other people right in our path, people that will listen and understand with compassion and not condemnation. It is vital to our spiritual growth and health that we have other people. And then he says this, I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I will hold you up. For this last illustration, I got to go old school. For those of you that can't track with this, well, you're just going to have to take my word for it. But years and years and years ago, a time when dinosaurs still roamed the earth, we didn't have smartphones, and we carried around pictures in our wallet. And if somebody had a baby, they had a picture of their baby in their wallet, even if their baby was ugly. Listen, this is where people push back. There are no ugly babies. Yes, there are. There are. You've seen them. I have seen. Nobody here today, your baby is ugly. They're not, but you've seen them. But you remember people used to run up to you, and they just had a baby, and they used to show you the picture of their baby. They're like, hey, look at this. Look at him. Look at her. So proud. So proud. Look at this. Look at them. Look at her. Look at this little smile. Look at this. We don't do that today. I mean, we don't have wallets. I mean, we have the pictures on our phones, but we still do the same thing. Look at this. Look at this. This is my baby. This is my baby. Oh, look at this. This girl's so cute. This is her when she got up at 8 o'clock. This is him at 9 o'clock. This is him at 10 o'clock. This is him at 11 o'clock when he won't eat. This is him at 2 o'clock when he won't take a nap. This is him at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I love him. Look at him. Isn't he so cute? So proud. So proud of our kids. We're very, very, very proud, and we want to show them off. We want to lift them up. But when it comes to Christianity, so many of us have been taught to believe that God doesn't want to hold us up. God wants to push us down, and we feel like he's not proud of us. He's disappointed. You got too much joy in your life, boy. Got to get rid of that. Having too much fun? Get rid of that. There's no way you should have that much peace in your life. I'm going to throw this problem in. No. Listen to me. God is not trying to hold us down. Religion tries to hold you down. Religion tries to hold you back. Religion pushes you down. But God says, I want to strengthen you. I want to help you. And I'm going to hold you up with my victorious right hand. I don't want to push you down. And there are so many people. The reason maybe you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus is because you're absolutely convinced a life with Jesus means less. And it doesn't. A life with Jesus equals more, immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine, because he wants to hold you up with his victorious right hand. I was thinking about the best way to end this message today. And what I came up with would be the best way is if we could learn a prayer together. And there's nothing magical about this prayer, but it's a prayer for me that I wrote down, that I'm continually praying every day, and I've been praying it for the past week or two. And slowly but surely, it's helping me connect back to this verse. Listen to me. If there's anybody that has ever walked in fear, insecurity, doubt, and discouragement, it's me. And so I have learned to pray this prayer, and it's something that's really helping me. And I thought, if it's helping me, maybe it could help you too. And it's this: Jesus, today, help me to trust you and surrender to your plans. Strengthen me, help me, and remind me I'm in your hands. Jesus, today, help me to trust you and surrender to your plans. Strengthen me and help me and remind me I'm in your hands. And so, listen, I don't know where you are in life. I don't know if anything's weighing you down. I don't know if you're dealing with doubt and worry and fear, depression, and all of those things. But I want us to pray this together. I want us to all pray it out loud. There's something about not just thinking something, not just reading something, but speaking it out loud. There really is power when we can hear our voice and the voice of others declaring something. And so let's do that. Let's read it together. Here we go. Jesus, today, help me trust you, surrender to your plans, strengthen me, help me, and remind me I'm in your hands. Let's do it again. Jesus, today, help me trust you. And remind me I'm in your hands.